Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You could keep a plan. Can you do me a favor and just stand on your feet and hold the hands of the person beside you? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father God, we bless your name and we give you praise. We thank you that you kept us in the midst of it all. We thank you for being our strength. And we thank you for being provider and protector and way maker and miracle worker, promise keeper and light in the darkness. You've just been so much to us. Father, thank you for looking beyond our faults and seeing our need for you. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Has nothing to do with whether we're faithful or not, or whether we cross every T or dot every I. Father, you're just faithful because you are God and you are God alone, Father. Father, I thank you that there's nothing that we could do that could ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, Father. So we stand before you, Father, a joyful people, a blessed people, a happy people, an encouraged people, Father, just because of you. Father, we thank you for blessing this ministry. 30 years of ministry and in leadership, Father God. God, only you could sustain something this long. Father, we thank you, love, for every detail, every event, Father God, whether good or bad, Father, because you know how to work all things together for your good, for those that love God and are called according to your purpose, Father. And Father, we recognize that this man and this woman in this ministry are the called, and they have been in this ministry for 30 years according to your purpose. So Father, we thank you for working things together for your good in their life, Father. We thank you for the fruit that has come from this ministry, Father. We thank you for keeping them, Father, keeping their health, keeping their mind, God, keeping them together. Father, we thank you for the unity and the oneness in this ministry and in this family, Father. And God, we ask that you continue to do what you've always done, and that's to continue to keep them, continue to strengthen them and encourage them, Father. Father, bless the person whose hand we're holding in a special way. They're a miracle, Father. We don't know what it took for them to be here or to wake up, Father, but we thank you for blessing them. And that person whose hand we're holding, Father, needs something special from you, something we don't know about because we're not going to be nosy, Father. So we don't have to know the situation, but we know how to pray. And so, God, we're asking now in the name of Jesus, as we take on the posture of an intercessor for our neighbor, for whatever they need, whatever they desire, whatever they've given up on, whatever they've stopped praying about, whatever they have doubt about, Father, or have been hopeless about, we ask now in the name of Jesus, Father, miracles, signs, and wonders in their life, Father God. Let them leave this place and have a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. But because I know I'm amongst people of faith, we don't have to leave here to shout about your goodness, but we can shout even as we proclaimed it, because we believe that you did something just right now at this moment. So we thank you for it now. We praise you for it now. We believe you for it now, Father. And we love you so much, God. God, thank you for how you've blessed us through the ministry of music and the ministry of dance. And now how we've come to hear from you from your word. God, your word is blessed all by itself. So now encourage us, edify us, Father, and allow us to be better than when we came. And now, Father, speak to me, speak through me, give me everything that I need. Stand up in my body. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, he is my strength, and I know him to be your strength. He is my redeemer, and I know him to be your redeemer as well. Let the people of God in this place that believe that God just did something magnificent and miraculous in your life, loose your neighbor's hands and give God a mighty, mighty, mighty praise. Hallelujah. 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 Y'all sound like God just did something. Amen. 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 Thank you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I've not worshipped here in many, many, many years. As a matter of fact, when I began to worship, I believe it was 92, and we was the Eagle's Nest. Come on, where are my Eagle's Nest people up in here? Yeah, we was straight up Eagle's Nest. We was all up in the nest worshiping Jesus, right? And the Eagles were watching, you know what I'm saying? So. Had a wonderful time, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And you know what? As we just shouted and praised God for Jesus, can you all just stand and shout and praise God for your pastors, Pastor James and Pastor Gwyneth? Hoping, come on. There would be no y'all without them. Hallelujah. That right there, that's miracle signs and wonders right there, right in front of you. Yep, if you look up grace in the dictionary, you'll probably see a picture of those two. And so we certainly praise God for his presence and for being here. And as we celebrate them, let's celebrate the leadership of this house. Amen. Everybody in your respective places. It's good to. Amen. Good to see so many. I'm looking at faces and I was like, let me get the names right. But it's always good to see Aunt Cheryl and Uncle Wayne. And talking about my mom almost made me cry. Yeah, that's my little soft spot. But anybody has ever seen my mom, you know, if you see me, you see my mom just like her. Good to see Aunt Cheryl, Uncle Wayne. Good to see you, Jama. Good to see you, Alijé. Good to see you, John and Dwayne. And I see you, Stan, still holding it. I mean, you ain't got no maracas or nothing going on, but he used to have on that shirt and have all types of stuff going. Yeah, you see, y'all ain't think I remember that. Yeah, he used to be rocking it. He just had a sea of instruments, and he just pick them up and go. And thank you so much, Valerie, for that wonderful music. You sing just as beautiful today as you did any other day that I've heard you sing. So just to good to be in the house of the Lord. And as we celebrate International Women's Day, I want to celebrate my international woman. Oh, come on now. Of almost 20 years, can we celebrate my wife, please? Amen, amen. There you go. Amen, amen, amen. This August the 7th, we will celebrate 20 years of marriage. Amen. 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 I only knew her 6 months. That's God right there. Right? Right? Amen. Amen. But I don't want to be before you long, but I do want to encourage you all pastors and encourage your church through this simple message. Looking at your theme of 30 years of man's dedication, powered by God's divine intervention. And the first person that I thought about when I considered your theme was the Apostle Paul, because he was one who was extremely dedicated. And to do all he did, going through what he went through, was nothing short of divine intervention. And so I want to preach a very familiar passage to you all, and that's going to be in Philippians 4. 11 through 13. I know 13 is that's your verse. That's what you put on your tennis shoes. You got the t-shirt. Yeah, that's the one right there. But I want to, Philippians 4, 11 through 13. I'm in the new international version, and I'm going to put these on just to make sure I can see properly. And if you have it in your Bible, you can say amen. Amen. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. If you read right before this, he's talking about the offering by the Philippian church. that was lifted for him that didn't make it to him. And so these are his comments. But he says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. What is the secret, Paul? It's this. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Some of your translations say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This was the secret that he learned. And for a few moments this morning, brothers and sisters, I want to preach from the title, Surviving Off of a Secret. Considering your theme, I want to preach surviving off of a secret. Pastoring, brothers and sisters, is one of the hardest jobs that one can begin and be successful in and have any bit of longevity. If any pastor would be honest, they'd probably tell you they quit every week. Some might even say they quit every day because it is a daunting task. I think it's number three on the depression and alcoholism rates if you were to look up the statistics. Pastoring is an extremely hard job. And you don't last any length of time just because you make a decision to pastor, because most people don't make a decision to pastor with just excitement, but there's fear at the same time, because even though you trust God, you're stepping out to do something that you've never done. And you understand that you have souls at stake. So when it comes to pastoring, brothers and sisters, you're not just successful because you make a decision to do it. You're not just successful because you have determination, because a lot of pastors have had determination, but we've also found in the last 10 or 15 years, more pastors have committed suicide than we've ever seen. So it's not determination that makes you successful. It's not a decision to pastor and keep pastoring that makes you successful. It is truly divine intervention that allows you to stay successful at pastoring. See, brothers and sisters, what we're doing right now, we are having a celebration of pastoral ministry and church anniversary. But this is also a time to be reflective. And this is also a time where we can get a little bit emotional, because when you consider all that you've done, you also have testimonies of all of the difficulties. You think about the hardships. You think about the highs and the lows. You think about the good and the bad. You think about the positives and the negatives and realize it's only because of God that we're here. See, brothers and sisters, whether you know it or not, Pastor James and Pastor Gwyneth, God gave you the strength to step out on faith and say yes to what was then the Eagle's Nest Life Center. You know, when you're fearful about what you haven't done, God has to give you strength to step out and say yes. I remember the size of that enormous building. God had to give you strength to say, you know, I'm a pastor now. I'm looking back like, I don't even know how y'all did it. Gave y'all strength to take on this enormous building. And we had all of these youth in here and we were playing instruments and y'all were just happy to see souls saved. We were doing outreach out in the parking lot. God had to give you strength to do that. God had to give you strength to preach and teach no matter what the money looked like or what the members looked like. It's just something that God does. God has to give you strength to grow your church while you're still growing yourself spiritually at the same time. Because how many people realize just because you're the pastor doesn't mean that you got it all the time? Doesn't mean that you see what I'm saying? So while we're trying to grow you, we're trying to grow us in our walk at the same time. God has to give you strength to be able to do that. God has to give you strength to be able to come back from an accident and still go on. There could have been many reasons to say, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm done. After all that I've done for the kingdom and after all that I've done for God, you ever been there? Why would he allow something like this to happen? But in the midst of it all, you find strength sitting to my left, your right. That's the strength of God right there. Brothers and sisters, you ought to give God some praise. If you ever thought you couldn't do it, you ought to just look over there and say, I can do all things through Christ. What's clear to me, brothers and sisters, that after 30 years, you've been surviving off a secret. And the secret you've been surviving off of is that we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. Paul here, brothers and sisters, he's learned the secret, and he gives us a model of what it means to be dedicated no matter what and be enabled by God to continue to do ministry even in unfavorable conditions. Whether you realize it or not, even though we get encouraged by this letter to the church at Philippi, where Paul says things like, "He who began a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." This is the same epistle where we hear stuff like, "Rejoice," and again, I say, rejoice. Yeah, we're encouraged by that, but where Paul was at wasn't an encouraging situation. In fact, this is one of the prison epistles. Paul is literally on house arrest, so Paul is writing from prison, able to encourage other people, to encourage that church and encourage us. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, I can always listen to somebody that's gone through something to give me some wisdom. See, Paul can tell you to rejoice and he can encourage you because he's in prison right now being encouraged by the same God that he's saying will encourage you. So Paul writes this letter, brothers and sisters, from prison at Rome, and he's waiting to die. And Paul writes this letter to encourage these believers in their faith, to exhort them to keep the faith. And he's also expressing the outer workings of his faith, because to write to encourage somebody when you're in prison mean you got to have some faith and some strength. Because if you let me go to prison, I ain't encouraging nobody. Somebody need to write a letter to encourage me. But Paul flips it up here because you can tell that he's wrong. Can I get a witness of me? Who are you trying to encourage when you're in the joint? I'd be like, save me now. But he's now expressing gratitude to this church, as I mentioned, to the Philippi church, a small but loving and giving church that tried to get an offering to him. And it didn't make it to him. But he states that he's good because he's learned the secret of being content in all things. Now, brothers and sisters, to get this frame of mind, you have to have gone through some things. And so the classroom for learning takes place in living through the experience. And so your classroom of learning, like Paul, is living through the experience. This is how you know what God's strength looks like. This is how you know what grace looks like. This is how you know that you have the faith. You remember when you said, "I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." You thought that was faith till you sat in the classroom of life and God allowed you to grow, go through some stuff. And then you growed through some stuff. And then you made it out of some stuff. And that's when you realize that you got the same faith. And so Paul learns this lesson in the classroom, and he says, in whatever state I'm in, I learned the secret of being content. I've been up, I've been down, I've been hungry, I've been fed, I've had it all, and I've had little. And Paul, I'm sure he's reflecting on his life, because here he is in prison in Rome, brothers and sisters. He's in a bad situation. And this is Paul who set up churches. This is Paul who's gone on 3 missionary journeys. This is Paul that's evangelized Gentile, left a Gentile. This is Paul who's written 2/3 of our New Testament. This is Paul that the only reason we know of things like justification, sanctification, and regeneration, and glorification, and adoption. Had he not given us Romans, we wouldn't even know what that is. This is Paul, brothers and sisters. This is Paul that mentored and appointed leaders. This is Paul that raised the dead. You remember he was preaching so long, the young man fell out the window. Paul ran down the steps and laid over top of him, raised him back up. Paul can raise people from the dead, but he can't even get himself out of prison. This is Paul that knows something about good times, brothers and sisters. He's also Paul that knows how to call evil spirits. You remember right before he got locked up and put in jail, he called the spirit out of the girl, the soothsayer girl. This is Paul. He's reflecting on these good times while he's in prison on house arrest, chained to a guard. So he gets to reflect on all the great things he's done for God, but man, he can't even get himself out of prison. But Paul also had some times of being deserted by people. He's been shipwrecked. He's been hungry, beaten and thrown in jail. Y'all remember when Paul was stoned and he was dragged out the city? Bible says he didn't even go to the ER. Some believers just gathered around him. I guess they started praying. Watch this. He got right back up and went right back to the same city to strengthen the same people that stoned him. That just sounds like strength. I'm just trying to give y'all a picture what the Apostle Paul looked like. Good times and bad times, you see the strength of God. Paul says that I've learned the secret. He said, I've been so disciplined by experience that whatsoever be my lot, I can endure. This is what he basically says. My difficulty was my development. And I know you can sit here and think about what you've went through and what shouldn't have happened, and you wonder why it happened. But guess what? You've never been more spiritual than you've ever been in your entire life, because your difficulty was your development. In the midst of your difficulty, that's when you got your prayer life. In the midst of your difficulty, that's when you started reading the word for real. You ever seen some people come in church after a long time? I had a lot going on, just thought I'd come up inside the church. Yeah, your difficulty became your development. So Paul is preaching from a place of strength, writing a letter from a place of strength, because he went through some stuff. This ministry is standing in a place of strength, 30 years of strength, 30 years of power. Why? Because they've gone through some stuff, and you've gone through some stuff, and you ought to praise God for where you are right now. Paul says, I've learned the secret. I know how to be content. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Now, before I give you my few points, let me just say this. Contentment doesn't mean that I stop desiring anything more. It just means that I'm disciplined by my experience that I can thrive where I am. So don't act like there's not more to get, or you don't want more. I look. I'm not even like that. I'm with the God that can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. And whatever that more is, that's what I want. But I also know that God gives us what we need through experience, where we can say, I'm good where I am. So this is what Paul is talking about, brothers and sisters. Paul says, my experiences have taught me a lot. And he says that the secret of my survival has been revealed. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, most of us in here have done and are doing great things in God, not because of strength declared, but strength revealed. I got to bring this up, because when most people use this verse, it's strength declared. I'm declaring that I'm going to have enough strength to jump over that mountain. But Paul is saying this is strength revealed. He's talking about the strength he has, because when he looks back and thinks about what he's gone through, he realizes the only reason why he made it through was because of the strength. So it's not that I'm declaring strength for going forward. I'm realizing that I've always had strength, and with the strength that I've always had in Christ, it will allow me to go forward. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The secret is this, brothers and sisters. I want to use verse 13 just to give you 3 points, and I just want to chop that one sentence up. Here's what Paul says. Here's what the secret is. He says, the secret is this. I can do. He gives us here the surety of your potential. He says, I'm certain of a thing. He says, I can do. What I've learned through all that I've went through is that I can do. Now, brothers and sisters, for Paul, this is both a revelation and a reality at the same time. He understands this because of what he's been through, but it's visible as he's currently going through. You know why, brothers and sisters? He didn't just go through some things and see God's strength. Paul is in the middle of some things, and he's exhibiting God's strength. In fact, there's one verse in Philippians says that because of his chains that the gospel went further. Paul's in the midst of being tied to a soldier, chained to a soldier, and yet he has strength enough to say, give me my papers. I got to write these letters to encourage these believers and exhort them to live right and express. And Paul ain't the only one chained to something that got them down. You got something that you chained to. It might be some bad health. It might be a financial situation. I don't know, whatever it is, but whatever you're chained to, God has given you the ability to still do if you recognize that your strength comes from him. Paul says, I can do. In other words, what he's telling us, brothers and sisters, is that my predicament doesn't determine my potential. It defines my potential. It's because of what I'm going through that you can see the strength that I have. Paul says, it's me going through that allows you to see how I go through and who's keeping me through. So for Paul, brothers and sisters, there's no can't do, because there's something inside of him that can always do. I'm going to say that again. For Paul, there is no can't do, because there's something or someone inside of him that can always do. So brothers and sisters, whenever there's a question about what you can't do, you need to say that I can do, because even if you can't do, someone in you always can do. And if you believe in the one in you that can do, through you, things can get done. I can't say it again. It just slipped out my mouth. I can't even say that again. Hope you recorded that. Paul says, I can do. I can be strong in body. Speaks of being sound in health. He says, I can do regardless of any weak areas, because whatever I'm not or whatever I can't, there is an inside of me, an I am, that always makes things possible. You ever looked at yourself and said, I'm not the one. I'm not meant for this. You ever been pastoring a pastor and you just thought that maybe we missed it. Maybe maybe this wasn't the right calling. This wasn't the right situation. Maybe we just need to back out, just come and tell the church we're about to shut it down. But the reason, even if they felt like they couldn't, there was an I am inside of them that said that you can and you would and you should. And even if you don't want to be, I will still be inside of you to make sure that you get stuff done. Paul doesn't see his potential, brothers and sisters, through the lens of his abilities or his lack. He doesn't entertain what he can't do. When he says I, he is identifying himself with God, who he is certain strengthened him. So when he says I can do, he's not just talking about him. When he says I can do, he's identifying himself with the God who's keeping him through at the same time. And see, that's why you and I can confidently say I can do, because when you talk about I can, you're talking about the I am in you. Better stated, we can do anything through Christ, because he strengthens us. Y'all, those of you that have kids, y'all know exactly what this looks like. Your kid be in school and they see something that they want. First thing you're going to say is, I got money. Not because they got money, you got money. Can you take me home from school, girl? You know you ride the bus. I got us a ride. You think you got a ride because your parents got a ride. See how it works? Because my kids know what I got, they got too. So when we're talking about God, we can say, I can do, because God can always do. And as long as me and God can do it together, there is a surety in my potential. Paul says, I can do. Well, brothers and sisters, the secret that Paul lifts up here, it's not just I can do, the surety of your potential, but he also lifts up the scope of your possibilities. He says, I can do all things. I know y'all probably think I'm making stuff up. I can do. He says, this is the scope of your possibility. You probably thought it was some things, a few things. He says, because I know where my strength and power was coming from, and I think about all that I went through and made it out of. He says, he looks at his future, even now about to be beheaded, and he still says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Think about where you are right now. Think about the situation you're facing, the bad news you got right now, what you feel like you can't do. I'm telling you, because of who's in you, you can say, I can do all things. I'm not at my best, but all things. I'm a little tired, but all things. I just got some bad news, all things. This roadblock came out of nowhere, all things. He says, all things. Paul says, whether plenty or poor, well-fed or lack, a lot or little, all things. While Paul is reflecting back on what he's gone through and now even still going through, for him, there's no limits on what God can do. Even though he hasn't experienced everything that God is going to do, experience with God is what allows you to do anything, no matter what you face, as long as it's with God. So it doesn't matter if I've experienced everything. What matters is whether I've experienced God or not. Because as long as I've experienced God, it doesn't matter whatever else I face, because my experience with God lets me know anything else I face I can get through. Don't think too much about what you have yet to experience, or what the bad news, or what, how horrible it was. You got to tell yourself, I have experience with God. And because I have experience with God, I'm not worried about that. What is it? Whether it was coronavirus or something else. There are other viruses out there that we don't know about killing people. But because of my experience with God, all things I can. Yeah. Now, if it's in your strength, you can confidently say some things. But when you're talking about God's strength, you ought to declare all things. I don't know what your vision is and what you all have planned for the next year, 2 or 3 years. I don't care if you look at it and look at the numbers and the people and everything, say, I don't know this and that. You know what? You need to just put right at the bottom of your paper, all things. Because it's not just you, it's him in you and through you. All things. Brothers and sisters, your experience with God is all you need. Even if you haven't had experience doing all things. What you know about God and what God knows about you is what allows you to do it. So your faith to do is in your familiarity with who? Does that make sense? Your faith to do is in your familiarity with who? When I'm familiar with who, I have faith on everything that I can do. If you have a question about familiarity, don't leave that up to Sundays getting the word and prayer in church. You got to deal with that at home. That spiritual growth thing. That stuff that you got to deal with. So if you're struggling with faith and doing, you need to get more familiar with him at home. Because of Christ, Paul says, because of Christ, all things are possible. The secret is in I can do, the surety of your potential. All things, Paul talks about the scope of your possibilities. But then this is what everything hangs on. Paul lets us know the last part of the secret is the source of your power. I can do all things through Christ who gives me. He says this is the source of your power. Paul says that the strength that he has is through Christ. You can't forget that, brothers and sisters. Even something simple yesterday, I couldn't find my keys before I did a wedding, and I was like, man, I don't want to come home and worry about trying to find these keys. I got to finish my sermon for the day and all this other type of stuff. And it was just making me weak to think about it too much. Guess what? My strength came from saying, God, I don't even know where my keys are. You may think this is something simple or small. I don't know where they are, but God, I don't have the energy to look for keys because I need sermon writing energy. Soon as I came home and walked in the kitchen, the keys were right there. Through Christ. So for the energy that I didn't have, he gave me the strength and encouraged me by making sure the keys was right where I looked before I left. Somehow he opened up my eyes. Paul says that the strength he has is through Christ. This isn't a second wind. This isn't just something that comes from experience. This is literally divine power or divine intervention. Paul says, God gives me strength from within. And we know from scripture that Christ has overcome the world. But even though he's overcome the world, we're in the world that he's overcome. But he works through us in the world, through our difficulties, so that we realize that we overcome the world. So in totality, what Jesus did on the cross has set us free. We have overcoming power. But what happens is he works through us in the world so that we realize we overcome the world. So to overcome in ministry and overcome in life, it has to be through Christ. It has to be Christ in us so that we realize that we've overcome. Henry Ward says this, The strength of a man consists in finding out the way in which God is going and going that way too. He doesn't say whether the way is easy, because you know following Jesus ain't easy. But as long as you're going the way that he's going, basically he's saying that you'll find strength along the way. So basically, wherever God is, so is his strength. Aren't you glad that Jesus died and left us the Holy Spirit because we have God in us? Watch this. So when you're looking for strength, if you want, you can pray up and you can pray out. But I'm telling you, strength is present. I'm just trying to help somebody that's been looking around. You've been looking around for God's strength. Like, I don't know where my help coming from. Oh, you got your help. Come on, y'all done it before. I'm looking for my help. Your help looking for you. Oh, my goodness. Basically, wherever God is, so is his strength. The strength is there. If you ever ask yourself, why am I going through? It's because God knows the strength is there. Paul had to ask himself, I'm preaching the gospel. Why am I shipwrecked? Because the strength is there. Why did I get bit by this snake? But you still live because the strength is there. Why do I got to be hungry? Because the strength is there. If you know, whatever you're going through, brothers and sisters, if you ask why you're going through, just say God knows that the strength is there. God wouldn't allow you to go through something that he hasn't given you the strength to be able to go through. He does it because the strength is there. Recently, in my gym endeavors, my wife has become my workout partner, but she's not the type that, you know, be on the bench helping me like add weights and stuff like that. We just go in there together to encourage one another. But those of you that have gone in the gym and worked out with a partner for a period of time, they begin to see what you can do because they're working out with you. Some of the brothers in here, you ever worked out with somebody and you were on the bench and you were like, I'm going to do A, B, and C. I'm going to be done. They're like, hold on. And they start adding some weights on there. Like, what you doing, Slim? You know, I say, I'm just about to knock these out and get up out of here. Like, why are you playing? They start saying, no, you got this, you got this. How do they know you got this? Because they've been watching you and they recognize that the strength is there. But they want you to realize that the strength is there. So they don't mind putting more on to let you know. I'm going to show you. When I put this on, if you decide to press this out, you're going to realize that the strength is there. And you're going to come out with that 315 like, I can do all things through Christ. That gives me strength. Because the strength is there. Because you've been surviving off a secret the whole time. How do we go from here, Spirit of Elijah? In God's strength. Just because you had a weak moment doesn't mean God's strength wasn't there. Just because things didn't turn out the way you wanted to doesn't mean God's strength wasn't there. In fact, the fact that you could still exist when all of that went on is proof positive that his strength was there. So you've been surviving off this secret, but the secret has now been revealed to the world. Yeah, because after 30 years, someone has to ask, how are you still hanging around? Now it's not a secret. They can just point at your ministry and your pastors and say, that's the strength of God right there. And brothers and sisters, there's some people that are going to see you all on Facebook or whatever, going to come into this ministry, and they need strength. They're weak. They're hopeless. They ain't just running from the coronavirus. They're running from abuse. They're running from how they view themselves. They're running from depression and suicide. And I'm so glad that you all managed to hang around and survive off the secret, because now you'll be able to tell someone else the same way Paul was able to tell this church at Philippi. Yes. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm thankful for you all. Amen. Amen. You can give God some praise. I'm thankful for you all still being around after all of these years. This ministry was an encouragement to me. This is the ministry that I left to go into the Air Force. And now having pastored 10 and a half years, I know it takes the strength of God to do this. But for 30 years, it's something special. And if you all are grateful for the strength of God in this church and in your pastors and what it's meant for you all, can y'all once again just put your hands together and give God a mighty, 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 mighty praise. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Give the man of God a hand clap of appreciation. Amen. Nail down the word of the Lord. Nail down the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. I'd like to have our porters or our men to pass offering envelopes down the aisles, please. We're going to bless the man of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As your pastor, I want to share with you this morning that a part of one of the things I pray and I ask God for is that we as a people would honestly understand that when God set pastors and ministers and teachers and people who proclaim the word of the Lord before you, it is so important to understand that it is God speaking to you as an individual, as a corporate body and as an individual. And we hear good words, and they're good words. They may move our emotion a little bit, or we agree with them or whatever, but this is your food. This is God pouring into you. This is God strengthening you. This is God directing you. This is God ministering to you, speaking to you, guiding you, leading you, upholding you. And so it's so important to me today that as you hear what he has said to us, what God put in his heart, what God put in his mouth to speak to us, it is God personally and individually and corporately speaking to us. And there is a word from God to you personally out of this message that you need to implement in your life, or that you need to be aware of or attentive to. And so many times we don't grow because we don't come into the presence of the Lord as a sponge, wanting to hear and understand that this is a word for me today, right now, right here. And as we learn to operate in that attitude, that principle, that understanding, the more we will understand and the stronger we will be. And the less we'll always have to be looking for somebody to minister to us and tell us what to do. You already heard it. But you were sitting in church talking about where you're going to go after service. Drink about that. I need to get on the internet. That sale gonna be over today. If I don't get home to get that before I can't get the sale. No, you're supposed to come to the church to hear God. God only, nothing else. And so this man has labored before the presence of the Lord. God has given him a word for us as a corporate body. Don't take that like that don't mean nothing. That's not important. That was good. I like that. What did it do for you? What did it say to you? What did it change in you? God don't talk just to be talking. He talked because he got a word for you. And it's something he wants you to hear. And in his word tells you, now don't just be a hearer of what you just heard. But I want you to be a doer. My. And this is so important to us as a corporate body. Because as we rebuild, retool, be re-empowered, nothing can be for naught. Our power will come from it. Our strength and our ability to overcome. We don't just hear the word. We do the word. We are the word. And that's how we will move mountains. We have this saying, we say we pray prayers. Believing that in the name of Jesus, mountains move and the dead are raised. Right. If you don't know the word, I heard a statement a couple weeks ago. I'm saying it in my spirit now, all the time. I realized something like there's a place of faith that I've never gone before. And it goes like this. I have faith. And I have no doubt. Whatever I believe from God, that I have faith and I have no doubt. I'm not questioning it anymore. I'm not trying to figure out if it's going to happen, or I'm not debating it. No, whatever, if the mountain is to move, I have faith and have no doubt. And I believe with all of my heart, that's one of the reasons why we are still here, because our faith had to make a transition from just believing something. But I have no doubt. Amen. My. You got your offering envelopes? Amen. You're not called to be small. Deep impact. Yes. I'm never going to take back on it. Yes. God said it to me years ago. I'm going to believe it till I die. Yes. 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 And this I know. I won't die till I see it. Yes. In my. If I had anything to do with it, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Father, that's what I want my seed to look like. That's what I want it to be like. Oh,